Welcome to Ulcerative Colitis, Autoimmune Healing Journey. I am your journey guide, Jay India, and I'm so happy that you are here because this is a supportive, positive environment where we can heal together. Please note I am not a doctor or health professional in any way. If you would like to attempt something mentioned in this episode, please consult your doctor or mental health professional first. Before we get to the episode, so far you guys know I've given you over 80 episodes and almost 2 years of free content, so please support this podcast by giving me a 5-star rating wherever you listen and a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And always remember to hit the follow button so new eps pop up on your podcast player automatically. Today we are discussing, are colonics safe for ulcerative colitis, and a cromolyn sodium update. I first want to mention that you will see in other podcasts that people or podcasters will put in chapter markers, which are timestamps, and you see them in the show notes. So for example, I'm talking about gallbladder sludge at, you know, a minute, 40 seconds. And then at 7 minutes, I'm talking about mast cell activation. I tried to do that with both of Allie's episodes and I pushed publish and they would not show up, these chapter markers. And it took a really good amount of time because I had to go back to each episode and write down the timestamps and the whole thing. So if you're wondering why doesn't Jay do this for the UC podcast, I don't know why this function doesn't like me, but it doesn't. It will not publish on my host, Podbean, Apple, Spotify. So there's nothing I can do and I can't really, you know, keep wasting time on it. So if you're just wondering why I've never done that, I've tried and I failed. Anyway, moving on, my first colonic was last Friday, so it's almost been a week. According to verywellhealth.com, a colonic involves using large amounts of water to flush waste out of the colon. The procedure is also known as colonic irrigation, colon hydrotherapy, or a colon cleanse. I went to a highly recommended colonic expert that even does colonics for those who are quote unquote famous in the wellness field. So because of that, I said, okay, let me try this. And my naturopath, Jessica Johnson, she highly recommended this woman. And then on top of it, another friend who received great results recommended it as well. So I said, okay, why not? Let's do it. Let's blow up my butt and see what see what's going to happen. So colonic or colonics, I've heard it singular or plural, are very controversial, especially for UC and IBD. If you research online, the internet and Western medicine say it's an absolute no for UC, IBD, Crohn's, things like that. And even Ayurvedic practitioners will say, don't do it because they believe it wipes the good bacteria out of the gut. The colonic expert I went to, she used a special filtered water and a special colonic coffee to clean toxins out of the liver and gallbladder, or the sludge, as we like to call it. And then she repopulated the gut area, colon, and small intestine with good bacteria via wheatgrass and aloe vera. That day of the cleanse, I woke up and I was instructed to only eat a light breakfast, which I did, and I drank a little bit of juice a couple of hours before the colonic. When I entered her office, she was very professional and thoroughly explained the entire procedure to me. And what I found so fascinating in what she said was that an enema will only cleanse the bottom half of your gut area, whereas a colonic will cleanse the upper areas such as the liver and the gallbladder. And I'm so glad I used an expert for this because, I mean, not that I would give myself a colonic. Obviously, I don't have the, I don't have the infrastructure and the material and the machine and the whole thing to do that or the experience. But I have tried to do enemas and they've always been disaster. I just really have never gotten much relief from them. They've been very unpleasant for me. So I really am a big believer in certain things need to be left up to the experts. Just pay the money and go. And this is one of those things. I undressed to my bra, so I took everything else off. I wore a very cute hospital gown with ties in the back. I got under a blanket and onto a heating pad. I was laying on a heating pad and turned to my left side for the insertion of the colonic tube. And I definitely felt pressure, but it was okay. The pressure lasted maybe, I don't know, maybe a few seconds, let's say 5 seconds at the most. And I did feel it, I'm not gonna lie, but it was okay after that. Once the tube was inserted, I was laying on my back with my knees bent, like I'm in a resting sit-up position. The colonics expert began filling me with room temperature or warm water. That was something that was really nice. I didn't feel that the water was shockingly cold. I know I've done the enema where I've tried to put in the warmest water possible and it still is freezing cold. So I really appreciated that. This session was an hour long. We basically just talked and got to know each other while she was doing the procedure. She would fill me up with water, right? So obviously that's going up my butt, through my intestines, up into the gallbladder liver area. And then what happens is she would then clear out the toxins. So kind of the toxins are being sucked out. The tube is hooked up to a machine that looks like a fish tank, kind of, where you see the toxins and poo filtering out, but only if you want to. Some people don't like to look. I like to look. I saw yellow bile, which is very indicative of liver toxins, small pieces of poo, and she noticed a dead parasite floating by, which I thought was interesting, or what she perceived to be a dead parasite. And she told me that I was very dehydrated, which wasn't a surprise. She had said to me, yeah, when everyone comes in here the first time, they're extremely dehydrated. That's very common. So that was good to know. I had to tell her to stop filling the tube a few times because I thought I was going to shit all over myself. And she did. She was cool. And she, you know, she switched the thing to much slower. So it stopped filling, or it was very slowly filling, which was very helpful. By far the most uncomfortable part, though, and this is something that I had to suck it up and you would have to suck it up, she pushed on the organs in my gut area to really get the water in them and flush out toxins. She did this several times. It was really painful. I breathed through it and I kept remembering, this is just a moment. This is a moment in time. This is something where, yeah, I have to go through a little bit of pain in order to move out toxins and to heal even more. What I want to say about that too is you will find that with some of these all natural treatments, I'm sure most of you have done the gamut, right? But if you haven't and you're a newbie to all this, you'll find that, yeah, acupuncture with the needles is not pleasant. Colonics with someone pushing on your stomach is not pleasant. So there are certain aspects sometimes to these all natural treatments that are not the most fun, but I just look at it as, listen, this is a small moment of pain, so I can feel much better. I mean, I've even gotten, what are those things? Fillers under my eyes, and I had hyaluronic acid fillers under my eyes, and they worked very well, and that's for, you know, just beauty and cosmetic. And let me tell you something, that was a lot of pain. I was actually shocked, but I looked really great for a year. So sometimes there are these moments in life where you just have to kind of breathe through it and do the best you can and just really be focusing on the result. After the water cleansing, she then used colonic grade coffee to clean out my liver and gallbladder. This is where I saw more yellow bile. And she also asked me about acid reflux, which I always have. And she said, yeah, now that this yellow bile is moving out of your liver, you should see less of that. And I am finding that I have much less of that. It's not 100% gone, but definitely much, much less. Then to detox more and to restore the gut flora at the end, she filled the tube with wheatgrass, which has pre and probiotics, and aloe vera just to soothe the intestines, especially the colon. Due to the dead parasite that she saw, and again, she was thinking it was probably dead, and I'll get more into that another time, but I had just completed a major cleanse, which you're going to hear about at the end of this episode, so that's why she thought the parasite was dead. She believes that the parasite was from either restaurant food, when people handle restaurant food, the workers, they may have something, or being on the farm, either one. She put a small treatment of black walnut and wormwood into the tube. And I really like that because that brand she was using, I can't remember the name of the brand, but I've used that before in the past, so that was great. By the end of the colonic, I had to pee so bad. It was really bad. I didn't feel like I had to take a shit or anything like that, but I had to pee so bad. The colonic was done, and then the tube was removed. And post-colonic, I went to the bathroom. She instructed me to do potty yoga, which is while on the toilet, knees propped on a stool, swaying back and forth and twisting side to side. And the reason you do that is you're trying to get all that toxic poo, everything that's left, out of you. So I peed a ton, but in regard to number two, not much came out, a few drops of poo, and I thought I was done. So I was like, okay, let me go talk to her. I got dressed and I went to converse with her when all of a sudden I had to go now. There was no waiting. You guys know how it is when you're in a UC flare, you have to find a toilet now. Once I was on the toilet, all the stored brown poo came flooding out in a liquid or formed concoction. And it was, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too, well, who cares? I can get as much graphic in this podcast as I want, right? But I will say it was a nice brown color. It really filled the toilet and a lot came out. And then I was officially done with my colonic. I felt great. I drove to an Indian restaurant to meet my friend for lunch, and I had no problem eating there, and eating the food was fine. And even I was a little nervous on the drive over. I was like, okay, am I going to have another whole episode of going number two and it flooding out? But it was fine. I didn't. That was it. And she had told me that once that one event happens, then you're good. My overall thoughts of having a colonic was, if I was in a flare or still in the early, even to middle stages of healing UC or Crohn's or diverticulitis or anything with the gut, SIBO, I mean, I don't, it depends, right? It depends on the person. But for me personally, if you have, let's just say, injury to that area or to those areas where with UC, obviously we know we have tears in the large intestine, then I don't know if I'd want to be doing this. Not only would it be incredibly painful, but I just think it would be possibly adding fire to fire. And I would assume, I didn't ask, but I would assume if someone was in that much pain and in that much of a dire state, they would not do a colonic on you. I would assume, but again, I don't know. It was very fascinating because the colonics expert told me that in Germany and Switzerland, when you go to the emergency room with a stomach issue or a gut issue, they will do a colonics on you. And the other interesting part now too is that the state of Connecticut has just approved colonics for a pre-colonoscopy treatment instead of doing all that yucky, what is that crap called, syrup or whatever the hell it's called. Instead of doing that, they're now approving colonics, which I found amazing. So again, if you're in that early stage of healing, you still have ulcerations in your colon, I would say fuck no. It would be way too uncomfortable and way too painful, especially when they push on the gut area. I don't think you could handle it. I remember when I did my MRI, it was one of my first episodes on this podcast. If you look back, maybe it was like episode 10. I don't think it is, but let's just say it's somewhere around there. And that reminds me of getting a colonics when you're in a horrible flare. I couldn't handle it. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. So again, I would just wait until you're in the later stages of healing. I completely understand after doing it why the internet, Western medicine, and even Ayurveda can warn against it. I get it. Like if you don't know what you're doing and you're like, I'm in so much pain and I'm just going to go in and get one, it could backfire badly. Once you're in the final stages of healing, I do see it as a good way to clear out the major leftover toxins. Again, this is something that isn't for everyone. I know some of you listening are more prone to the Ayurvedic way of looking at things, and I get that. So I was glad that she put the wheatgrass in and the aloe vera in. That made me feel like, okay, you're putting back in some good things. So my gut, my colon, my liver, my gallbladder are repopulated with all the good stuff. So this is very much a personal decision. Whatever you feel is best, if it resonates with you, then go for it. And I cannot say enough, find someone in your area who's very experienced, comes very highly recommended. Do not settle for someone who's like, oh, okay, I kind of do this. And the colonics expert also recommended 3 sessions to really see a difference. So my next session is 1.5 weeks later, which she recommends. Session 2 is supposed to be phenomenal and have incredible results. I will let you know that's happening in, well, very soon. Has to be, right? I'll keep you posted. After the 3rd session, then as a client, you would decide what's best for your body. So almost at that point, then it's done intuitively. Do you want to get this done once a month, quarterly, once a year? It'll be interesting to see what works for me and also what works for other people. But I do like the idea of doing a session of 3 and then seeing how your body feels. Let's move on to chromalin sodium, which I talked about 2 episodes ago when I gave you my mold toxicity update. And chromalin sodium is for histamine intolerance. It is a pharmaceutical for histamine intolerance. It is spelled, if you see it in the episode title, but it's also C-R-O-M-O-L-Y-N sodium. It's known for mast cell activation and healing that. And I told you that I was deciding, I think I was saying to you, I was deciding, should I go on it? Shouldn't I go on it? And I decided, okay, let me try it because Dr. Pegg says it's been so life-changing and the last step of the protocol for many of her patients. So I said, all right, you know, it's just a little bit of a pharmaceutical. I was okay with the ingredients. It was a good cost. I'll tell you that in a second. So let me just try it. I have to say, this shit works so well. I only need a few to several drops before I eat something. You take it 15 minutes before you eat. You get these 3-inch vials of liquid chromalin sodium, and it's way too much. On the box, they're like, take a vial before you eat or take 2 before you eat. I don't know. Intuitively, I said, for some reason, I think that's way too much for my little tiny body. So I took 1/3 of a vial at first, and that was way too much. I felt like I was on 10 Benadryls minus the sleepiness. So I had that woozy, like you're in the stars feeling, and my whole body was, I don't know, what's the word for it? Not shocking in a bad way, but my whole body was just lighting up. It was a very strange Benadryl feeling. I'm surprised I didn't get tired, but I didn't. I will say now that I'm thinking about it, when I started using it at first, I was feeling a little foggy and tired. So just be careful of that. I researched online and I found a person in some random forum because, again, this is why it's so important for me to get any of this information out, because it's so damn hard to find someone who, even if they're on a forum and they're doing it to the best of their ability and with good intentions, some of these reviews are either crazy, I hate to say it like that, but they just are, they're going on about weird shit, or it's just, it doesn't apply to me, or whatever it is. But I found one woman who said she's very sensitive like me, and she's smaller, and she only needed a few drops of crumulin sodium before meals for her histamine intolerance. So I decided to model my strategy after hers, and it worked very well. I'll be honest with you, I forget to take it a lot. Maybe I remember to take it once a day, maybe. And the histamine symptoms have almost completely subsided. Only the tiniest amounts of symptoms are left. So I've been very impressed. And Dr. Pegg had said, if it works well, you should only be using this for maybe a few months and then you shouldn't really have to use it. And that's what I'm finding after only, I don't know, not very long, 2 weeks. I also ordered a histamine intolerance essential oil, which works extremely well. If I do feel a little bit of symptoms, I dab a drop or two of the essential oil behind each ear. The name of this oil is called Histamine Balance, and it is from Vibrant Blue Oils. So just go on to vibrantblueoils.com and search for it. It's that easy. A couple more things about crumulin sodium. You will see it in over-the-counter nasal sprays, etc. But for us with mast cell or histamine intolerance, most likely you will need something more powerful. For example, my histamine digest pills are nothing compared to this prescription crumulin sodium. I'm just being honest. I wish I could say that I had this magic herb that was so much better than the crumulin sodium, but it's not true. The crumulin sodium I take comes in 3-inch liquid vials. Like I said, they look exactly like water. What you do is you break one off and you squeeze out the liquid. I just squeeze out the liquid into a little shot glass, do a few drops, and do it that way. Dr. Pegg was able to order my crumulin sodium on Amazon Pharmacy, which I know you guys, I know a lot of you hate Amazon and you protest against them and you refuse to shop there. And I get where you're coming from. I try not to shop on Amazon too much, but I do because I'm finding, at least post-COVID, that a lot of things that have not been in, you know, whatever it is, the local pharmacy or grocery store or whatever it is, they don't ship it anymore to that store. So now I'm relying a lot more on online shopping, unfortunately, but that's how it is. Anyway, because of Amazon Pharmacy and it was so cheap, I paid $10 for 96 vials. So considering I use a few drops a day at most, I have a lifetime supply of it. And that's great. You know, the fact that it's so inexpensive, I mean, how great is that? Because I come on here all the time saying, oh, I just dropped $420 on this office visit and I dropped X amount on this. So it's nice to come on and say, hey, I only paid $10 for 96 vials. I think that's great. If you do use a small amount of crumulin sodium like me, the efficacy wears off after using the same vial 2 to 3 times. So I can only use it again a few times, then I throw it out and I start a new vial. So I hope that answers all your burning questions about colonics and crumulin sodium. Next week and the week after, you have 2 major episodes coming your way. I have to say, I hopefully will be very proud of these episodes because this was a big deal for me. And I haven't shared with you yet a major experiment that I can finally discuss of completing a 10-day water-only fast, which is I only drank water for 10 days, no supplements, no juice, no nothing, no food, obviously. And I have the shocking results from it. You guys will be blown away. I guarantee you, this is jaw-dropping what happened. And these results aren't just me taking shit out of the air and just saying, oh, I feel better and this and that. I had, right after the cleanse, right after the water fast, I had bioenergetic testing done. I had those results. And I have actual blood test results. You have to tune in because then you can decide if a water fast is the right choice for you to possibly permanently, yes, I said permanently, heal UC, IBD, leaky gut, and mold toxicity. And that's why I did it. I said, okay, if there's a chance to permanently heal, then let me try and let me be a little guinea pig, as I hope I always am to you. And I always want to be honest with you and say that my other big goals of this water fast were to start being able to eat a healthy but more inclusive food lifestyle with gluten, rice, and some fun treats in between. So did I achieve success in any of these lofty goals? You have to tune in to find out. That's next week. If you have gained any knowledge, insight, or comfort from these episodes, please support this podcast. Buy my UC ebook, my meditations, and donate. All the links are in the show notes. In my household, when we have a perfect shit, you know, when it slides out of your body, it's a perfect color and solidly formed, and you're so proud of yourself that you turn around the toilet and go, wow, we call that a green heart. I wish everyone a green heart day.